Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you folks doing today? How's everybody doing? Hi. It's good to see everybody here. That's great. Hi, how's everybody? Is that Barbara? Hey, Barbara Ritter. All right. Good. Good, good, good. Okay, it's about 12 o'clock, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and start the business meeting. Mike Cole is here, and I believe Charles Navarrete is supposed to be coming as well. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go ahead and get the business meeting going. And also, we have elections. It is 2008, and our charter asks that we elect new board members every even year. So being at 2008, I think we have to go ahead and do that. So without any further ado, Debbie Berry will read the minutes from the previous meeting in the spring.
Yes, I'd appreciate it. Hello, everybody. These are the minutes from our last meeting, which took place on April 12, 2008. Excuse me. The meeting of the OCB alumni started at approximately 11:30 a.m. Dave read the agenda. The minutes were read and approved. The treasurer's report. The balance in October of 2007 was $563.80. In March, it was $428.48. That was in the checking account. Savings account had a balance of $100.19. That was the savings account, and that was closed because there has to be a balance of $500 for the account to be free, and so that there wouldn't be a surcharge. So therefore, the savings was transferred to checking, so the total balance was $563.80. The P.O. box was not renewed as requested by the membership. The Treasury's report was approved. It was noted for the record that Jane Harder paid her dues of $5. All positions are up for re-election for the fall convention in 2008. Dave encouraged us to volunteer to run or to nominate people that you think might be interested in running. Dave asked for volunteers to go to OCB and talk to the students that are there to give them your advice and encouragement. The business meeting was adjourned at approximately 12 p.m. Respectfully submitted, Secretary Debbie Berry.
Thank you very much, Debbie. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? I believe there is one. You said Jane Harder. Isn't it Rose Harder?
Oh, did I? That could have been.
I believe it's Rose Harder. May I have a motion to accept the secretarial report? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right. They have been accepted. Now, I want to go ahead and have Richard with the treasurer's report. Richard, there's a microphone in front of you. There you go.
Good afternoon, everybody. Basically, I don't have a lot to report simply because there's been literally no movement other than the fact that we had a $50 payout back in February for the CCB annual fees. And currently what's in the checking account now is $546. I just had an opportunity to check that a few minutes ago. $546.30, okay. And, of course, previous to that $50 payment, and also for each month there forward of February, I've made several attempts to try to get rid of this $2.50 fee on the account. That is not going to happen. So basically what's happening is this account is being drained out of $2.50 every single month, and that's obviously affecting the balance. I don't know where we're going to go with this, but something really needs to be done at this point. I am also going to take the opportunity to let everybody know that as of today, I'm resigning the treasurer's position, and of course, we're up for re-election anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I certainly encourage anyone here to at least consider the opportunity for any of the offices that are up for grabs this time. It's a great opportunity for anybody to get involved. So I encourage all of you to think about which office you'd like to possibly be nominated for, okay? Thank you very much.
Are there any additions or corrections? Does anybody have any questions before I ask for a motion from the floor to accept the treasurer's report? Okay, hearing none, do I have a motion to accept the... all those in favor, say aye. All those opposed? Any abstentions? All right. For the record, it's been accepted. The treasurer's report has been accepted. Now we come to elections. And as I stated earlier, our bylaws state that every even year, we have to change out our officers. Now, it does not say that there is a term limit. There are no term limits. However, for my part, I have been president for a long time. And I think it's my time to step away and to seek other opportunities. It's with mixed feelings that I do this. I kind of feel like there's a lot of stuff that still needs to be done. I feel emotionally like this is where I started. But as I say that, I'll never be far away for any advice or ever any encouragement. What is open is the presidency, the vice presidency, treasurer and secretarial spots. I'm going to turn it over to Debbie to start the nominate, to open the floor for president, because I am not able to do that at this time. So I'm going to give it to Debbie. So Debbie.
Okay, thank you. Nominations are now open for president of OCB Alumni. Do I hear?
Yes, this is Richard Field, and I'd like to nominate my good friend sitting over here in the far right-hand corner of this room, Albert Contreras, for president. Come on, Albert.
I'll be glad.
Are there any other nominations? Are there any nominations? I mean, not. In other words, for the record, Albert declined, right? That will be in my minutes, Albert. Okay, are there any
nominations? I believe in you, Albert. That's why I nominated you.
Well, we're going to get him for something else. So, are there any nominations for president, please? I decline. I'm not apologizing or anything. I decline.
Come on, you guys. It's a great opportunity.
Okay.
Right on, Albert.
Yay!
You're a good man.
All right. Are there any other nominations for president? Are there any other nominations? And the third time, are there any other nominations? All right, all those in favor of electing Albert as president by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Albert, you're president.
Congratulations,
yay!
Albert. You're a good man.
Albert, I'll help you as much as I can. I will really help you with this. I'll get you started. Now, the next position that is open is vice president of OCB. Do I have a motion to open the floor for nominations?
I'd like to nominate Debbie
Barry. All right, I accept, but I'm going to need a lot of help.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other nominations for vice president? Are there any other nominations for vice president? Are there any other nominations for vice president? Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. By acclamation, Debbie Barry is the new vice president of OCB.
Congratulations,
yay,
Debbie.
All right. The last position that is open is treasurer of OCB.
Secretary.
I'm sorry. Secretary of OCB. Do I have a motion from the floor to open for this position? Are there any other nominations for secretary? Are there any other nominations for secretary? Are there any? Go ahead.
I'd nominate Bill Barry, and I'll help him if he wants. If he would accept the honor of being secretary.
Bill, is that something you want to do? Okay. Okay. Are there any other nominations at this time for secretary? Okay. We have, I'm asking for a motion to close nominations. Okay. So we have two folks that are vying for the position of secretary. Bill Barry and Sharon Benefield. Do I have someone who will get up and speak for Sharon Benefield? And do I have someone that will speak for Bill Barry? No, I want... Okay, and...
Organization for the blind, and I think she would be a very good asset. And she's been to OCB before. Oh, she's been to OCB before. She's done work in her chapter, and I feel that she would make a very good secretary to help us and to help OCB to go along with what they are doing, what we are doing to promote OCB and keep it going.
Friday. Thank you very much. Bill, would you come up this way? The mic doesn't go very far.
Yes, Debbie.
Debbie.
Okay. I would like to nominate Bill. And, yes, I am his wife. But I think he would be a great president. He's new to this. I mean, secretary. I'm sorry. Sorry, Albert. I think he would make a great secretary because, first of all, he's new to this organization. He's very quiet, but he gets things done. He's organized. He's worked as a medical transcriber for 20 years. And I just think that he would do a great job in taking good and detailed but concise minutes and accurate minutes because he has to do that kind of thing at work, which he has done for 20 years.
All right. With that being said, those for Sharon Benefield, raise your hand. Those for Bill Berry, raise your hand. Okay, it was 7-5 for Sharon Benefield. Congratulations, Sharon. All right. Now for the office of treasurer, do I have a motion to nominate for treasurer?
I would like to nominate David Jack.
A pregnant pause. I decline. And the reason I decline is because there are other treasury reports that I am doing for my work. So I would like to have somebody else do this. Is there anybody else that would be the treasurer for OCB? Is there any other nominations for OCB? Bill? No, it's Bill, is there something you want to do? I didn't hear you.
May I say something?
Sure.
Bill, trust me, it's a piece of cake. Okay? There really isn't a whole lot to do. It's just basically keeping, this is Richard Field, by the way. This is basically keeping tabs on what the balances are. I'll give you all the information you're going to need, and you'll be able to call. If you wish to call me, I'll give you my number so you can call me, and I'll help you through it. Super. You'll do great. It's real easy.
Are there any other nominations for the position of treasurer? Are there any other nominations for treasurer? Are there any other nominations for treasurer? I have a second.
Second.
All those in favor of voting for Bill Berry by acclamation, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Great. Fabulous. So you have a whole group of group of people, and again, I won't be far away. If there's anything that you folks need or want to know, I will be more than happy to share my knowledge. So with that, sure. I'm sorry. Yes. Thank you.
That is correct, yes. That's correct. That is correct. And dues are due today. Okay. All right. All right. with that, that concludes the business portion of the meeting. And what I'd like to do is, I believe the salads are coming around now. And
this meeting is going at approximately 12:20.
And so what I'd like to do is, I believe Mike Cole is in the room. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That is correct. Mike, are you under any time constraint at all? Okay. So why don't we have our salad, kind of visit, and then maybe at 12:30 or so we can get started and have Mike talk a little bit about OCB.
Okay. Well, hi everybody. This is Mike, and I'll just regale you for a few minutes about what's happening at OCB to kind of. Oh, kind of get you in the spirit of it. I'm sitting up here, and David has this nice dog. Did you all know that David had a dog? This darn thing is well-behaved, I must say. Congratulations to all of our new ossifers. It's good to see that kind of spirit, and of course, it's always great to be here with you. I don't know about you, but if you get a cold, it's not a good idea to go flying on airplanes. I did that. I can't hear very well. But anyway. So, I guess the big story about OCB this last year is a story that repeats over and over with all state agencies, and that is that we went through an extremely difficult time with the budget. But there's sort of good and bad in that story. A lot of services, a lot of the agencies that contract with the Department of Rehab really had their whole funding mechanism changed. And that caused a lot of consternation and worry. And now that we have a budget, we're kind of back in business. So, of course, you would wonder, well, how does that affect OCB? You know, OCB exists in statute. We're really part of the California government, and our position is pretty solid. Although I'm going to say something about that in a couple minutes. Our funding is fairly solid. At least they keep us at the same level of funding. And if we really had a need, they would, I'm sure, come through for us. We've received tremendous support from our blind special services division and the blind field services, which is the counselors under Kathy Bales. And how that manifests itself is in two interesting ways this year. First of all, when I came to you a year ago, I reported that for some reason our referrals were down, and we had a discussion about how we could possibly market OCB. We knew that there was a lot of new personnel, new counselors, and people who probably didn't know us very well and had maybe never even referred anyone to any programs, let alone to us. And that was a factor. And one thing and another. Well, the good news is that our referrals are up now. We're in good shape. We have lots of people wanting to come to OCB, and I think our relationship with the field counselors is in good shape and getting better all the time. One of the things that's been kind of a problem in that area is that because of budget issues, nobody could travel. So a lot of the newer counselors really hadn't the opportunity to come visit us like they once did. And indeed, as you probably recall, a lot of new counselors spend a week with us, sometimes even more, kind of doing the training as though they were a student, but also learning about the program and learning how they would refer people. And that hasn't happened as much lately because of travel restrictions, but we're hoping that it'll pick up because it's been a very important part of our program. The other thing is, in state government, you know, there was the governor's office said that there would be a hiring freeze, a very serious hiring freeze, and there would be no more what they call retired annuitants, which are retired people that you can hire for half time. They don't get benefits, but they can be very handy when you're short personnel. No more of that, and no more what they call permanent intermittent employees who are part-time. Well, OCB would be in big trouble without those permanent intermittent part-time workers. We use them in the dorm and in the kitchen, and I don't know, we'd be hard put if we didn't have them. And the good news is that the department went to bat for us and got us an across-the-board exemption, not only from the hiring freeze, but we do not have to lay off our permanent intermittent or our retired annuitant employees. Wow, that's a big relief, and it's a very big deal, too.
Looked at one way, you could argue that, well, of course they had to do that.
Employees at OCB, where people are in residence, this is a health and safety issue. They've got to staff it properly. Well, we all know that's a no-brainer, but knowing it and actually getting somebody to say it and make it policy requires a certain amount of advocacy and people putting in a good word for you at the right time. And we had that, and we take that as a compliment, and we also take it as support, not only at Tony Candela's level, but at the director's level and right up the chain of command. We've had some very, very good visits from the powers that be. The legislative analyst's office came to see us and went away feeling like the people of California's money was being well spent. Okay, so our public relations are in pretty good shape. Our referrals are coming along nicely. We've been averaging. Tony wanted us to stay around 27. We have been. We also served again as a, we said we would never do this again, but we did. We were a site where five people, and then it became four people who were in training with Social Security to become teleservice reps, stayed with us during their training. In fact, there's four of them still there. They'll end their training with the Social Security in the first part of November. And so they've just, you know, been part of our dorm life. We hardly ever see them. They leave when we're just getting to work and get home after we're gone. But they have a contact with rehab, and they've been delightful people who've done a good job. This time it really worked out well. It's had its ups and downs in the past, mostly up, but this group's been real easy, and I think they've enjoyed being there too. And this came about, you know, because whereas the department would have put them up in some kind of housing like they do with BEP students or trainees, the budget was such that they couldn't. There was, you know, they were going to go into training in July, and there was no budget, and so we were there, and I'm glad it worked out. So we've actually, our numbers have been up in the 30s because of those guys, even though they weren't in our regular classes. So the numbers are good. The support has been good. Also, OCB has come under a certain amount of scrutiny because we look ahead and we know there's going to be changes down the road. First of all, the big one is going to be personnel. At the end of this calendar year, Phil Yoakum, our shop teacher, and Diane Smith, our longtime O&M instructor, are retiring. And And I'm going to retire not in the too distant future, and they're going to have to try to figure out a way to get me replaced. We have a rehab counselor position, as you know, and it's currently open. And so we're going to be looking for someone in that, and that's a very key position. And for those of you who have been at OCB in the last full 15 to 20 years, my very wonderful secretary, Sue, has left us. And for many people, I mean, I don't put this lightly, there are those who said, golly, you could lose anybody at OCB. Don't lose Sue. And as many of you know, the secretaries are oftentimes the people who really are the ones who run the show. And Sue was spectacular, funny, and just a very good at what she did. So, well, you know, she, good question. And in this case, I can really say why. You know where OCB is in Albany, right? Albany is kind of like Berkeley. Sue lived in, are you ready for this? Stockton. And she got up at 3:15 every morning for the last 15 years and came to OCB out of loyalty and love of the program. And finally, she said, you know what? They're offering me a job with more money in Stockton. I got to do it. And that's fine. I mean, she gave us tremendous service for a long time. So anyway, personnel is a big deal, and that's something that we're looking at. There were two task forces. Are you here, Charles? Good. There were two task forces that the department established to look into the BEP program and the OCB program. These are two programs the department runs directly, so they had a specific interest in knowing not only how they're doing, but where are they going? What will they be like in 10 years? A group was put together to sit down and think about that, and I was asked to, you know, be part of the staff to that, and our chief deputy actually sat in. We got, again, good support, and I think a document came out of that that will be helpful as we move ahead. And Charles can, he knows more about the details than I do. It's indicative of a general interest in OCB, and that's good. That's a good thing. There was a time, I think, when OCB wanted to sort of hide out and not be seen too much. We think we've turned the corner on that, and it's actually to our advantage to be noticed. And sometimes, especially when it comes to things like personnel, we really need the assistance of the technical people in Sacramento. I think we'll have that because of our profile being raised a bit, and they want to help us be as good as we can be. Now, one last thing about what's going on currently. We're still providing our regular classes. We don't really know what it's going to be like to replace Phil in the shop. As you probably can guess, there aren't a whole lot of people with industrial arts backgrounds who also know something about working with people who are blind. And Phil has been a terrific teacher following along after Ken Munson. And Diane, of course, has been tremendous there for 35 years, I think, and so she's going to have to, we're going to have to try to find somebody with her spirit and her belief in people's independence, and so wish us luck. There's really nothing quite like having an alumni association I'll tell a little story out of school here. I went to the NFB Alumni Association, and believe me, I'm glad that they have one. But, you know, they've been, they're a smaller group than this group, especially when you consider that the CCB's alumni meet twice a year in Northern and Southern California. So if you add up the number of people who participate, it's quite a bit. Well, at the last, at the NFB one, other than the people who ran the meeting, there was no one else in the audience who I think was actually an alumnus of OCB. They were interested in OCB, that's fine, but no one who had actually been a student there. So you guys are really hanging in there, and we really do appreciate you, and we appreciate the work that David has put in to stimulate enthusiasm for this group and all of you. And I wish Albert all the success and his new crew. And I know Dirk will always be there, and Patty, and a lot of you, Wayne. And so hang in there with us, and someday, someday you might have to go to bat for us, and we'll count on you. So with that, yeah. Right now, yeah, you've got a pretty good grip on the history there. We had Jane, and then Angela Johnson, who became Angela Martin with a Y. That's her actual maiden name. And she became a VI teacher in the Contra Costa County Schools. And then Shay Chin Lin did it for about 2-3 years. And then Shireen did it. And now Linda Zagula, who is known to people as an O&M instructor, but she used to be the chief chef for one of the major restaurants in the Bay Area. So she became a mobility teacher and worked for the Department of Rehab as a contractor, but she's the real deal when it comes to chefing. And she's been doing it for the last, let's see, I guess year and a half. It'll be 2 years in January, and she's quite wonderful. So, you know, when OCB has to staff itself, it's tough because we have credentials, teaching credentials that are sometimes really old. And like, for instance, home economics, it almost doesn't exist anymore as a credential teaching position. And yet the state says that's what we have to have. So we've been having to be very creative and have meetings with personnel and with our leaders there in Sacramento. And they're very understanding. We have to keep the pressure on to make sure that we keep those staff members coming. OCB has always been a place that people stayed at for a long time. But if you, Albert can tell you this, if you look at state employment across the board, they're all a bunch of baby boomers, and they're going to be retiring and, you know, by the train load here pretty quick. So the state's going to have to roll up its sleeves and get busy getting these people replaced, and sometimes that's going to mean they have to write new job specifications and so on. And no place will that be more felt than teaching jobs at state facilities. Yeah. Oh, Sue, our secretary. So we're actually, what's happening in my life is that I am the rehab counselor and I'm the administrator and I don't have a secretary, and I could really sit here and whine for you, but we'll be all right. They just keep me very, very busy.
Are there any
Okay, the mobility area, there's a lady named Kathy Scow. There's Cy Tarlin, who was a sub for years before he became a regular. By the way, his other career was as an AC Transit bus driver. So he really has kind of a neat perspective on teaching mobility. And then Jim Lassen, who would be the first to tell you that he was born in 1930. And he's still going strong. And Diane. So, and I don't think we're going to have much trouble filling O&M because, first of all, that credential is very straightforward, and there's people that want to do it. So, Rich Russo is in his late 80s now. He's still he's still Mr. Atlas, you know. Goes to the gym every day. We see him at parties and stuff, but he's not getting around as much as he used to. But he's around. Oh, I think there was a Miller years ago. Gosh, I don't know. There was, of course, Mike Higgins, but he retired and then passed away. David Graham retired in about 97 or 8. Henry Cruz retired, of course, before I came. And then he died a couple of years ago. I think if Charles is going to get a chance, I better get out of here. So, okay.
Charles, are you? Is it okay? Do you want to come up and talk? By the way, I want to thank both of you for taking the time to come and talk to us about OCB. Really appreciative.
Here we go. Here we go. Right on. There you go.
Hello. My name is Charles Navarrete, and I know some of you, I've been with CCB for about 25 years now. I've also been on the Blind Advisory Committee, being first appointed by John Lopez to represent CCB back in the 90s. Mike has always come to the BAC meetings, the Blind Advisory Committee meetings, to make reports to us as to, you know, the status of OCB. And when Director Sauer came on board this past year, he established the two task force, the OCB task force and the BEP task force, because of pressures from the organized blind community, who are concerned that the there is different concerns. Some of the NFB people and some of the CCB people believe that there should be a change in philosophy. And that was primarily the NFB people. There is also concern of the underutilization of the program, and there's concern that some of the parts of the program perhaps needed to be changed or modified to meet the current needs of the blind because of advancement in technology and...
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Charles. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Can we have quiet, please? Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, you know, there's the task force was established because of those different concerns. And we met in March, and the members of the task force included Chief Deputy Director Pravakwa, I never say her name right, and Anthony Candela, Pete Benavides, Brian Basham, and Don Queen and myself.
Peter.
Yeah, I said Pete Benavides. Yeah. And we were charged with the to come up with ideas and for the future of OCB to improve the program, to improve the utilization of the program, and to have a plan for the future. Now, one of the problems, and we had one meeting, and that was unfortunate, because I don't know if it was just budget problems or whatever. We met on March 5th, and it was a very productive meeting, because one of the first things that we wanted to, that the facilitator that they hired to help us wanted to do was to each of us express our ideas about what would be an ideal residential program for the blind. And several ideas came up, such as, better orientation and mobility training using eye shades, perhaps changing the curriculum to eliminate the woodworking class, to have more, and also there's thoughts of trying to integrate the different types of programs that there have developed in the state since OCB was established, because now you have a whole variety of different types of programs. You have the programs where they don't have residential, they don't provide training with the blind people living in the facility, such as the Braille Institute, the Sacramento Society, the Dale McIntosh Center, and those centers, provide us a program that is utilized by the blind people who live in the area. Also, there's the Foundation for the Junior Blind Davidson program. Let's change its name a couple of times, and they provide residential and also non-residential training. Program in Northern California the Living Skills Center that provides the training in the apartment setting, so that people who live in that participate in that program are not placed in dorms, but have the actual opportunity to train in an apartment and in a residential setting that they'll have after they leave the program. And there's also the hybrid program of blind support services that was established within the past 10 years that provides some residential training and some training for people who commute to the program. So there's been some changes in the way that newly blind individuals are prepared for their new life. So that that there was some thought in our task force to try to adopt the best ideas from all of those different programs to improve the orientation center. The orientation center for the blind does get a good amount of money from the state, and it's very important that taxpayers realize that they're getting the best bang for the buck. And there's been, as Mike said, there's been more scrutiny of the program, more interest in the program. And, I have to admire Mike, because every time he comes to the BAC meeting, there's always some people that are having their guns loaded for him. And he is able to stand up to them, but there's a lot of a lot of concern in the blind community that we need to improve the orientation center for the blind program. And I think one of the goals has been achieved, better utilization. As Mike said, there's approximately 27 residents there, and they are also using it for the training program for the Social Security Administration. And so that's the population is up from what it had been in the past several years. And as Mike said, that there's going to be some changes in the personnel because of the retirement of people are such as a woodworking person, and so there should be some thought that whether those programs need to be continued or modified, and which would be the best to provide the training that the newly blind people need. There was some talk of changing the physical structure so that they could incorporate department training, but that thought probably is impractical at this point because of costs and things like that. But anyway, I wanted to let you know that we should be meeting soon because some of the budget problems have been ironed out. And Director Sauer did commit himself to establish these task force in order to improve the BEP and OCB programs in response to concerns expressed to him and the department in the past few years. But I would like to hear your comments and take them back to the task force as to what your experience. You've been there. You know what it's like. And, you've been out in the community for some of you several years, and how you think that OCB could be improved or does it need to be changed. So I'd be happy to hear your comments.
Does anybody have any comments for Charles?
Well, Charles, I am Barbara Ryder, and I am an OCB alumnus. And I really think that the program that you have living there and in a dorm with other blind this way, I think it gives the newly blind person a lot of support. And it also shows you how to behave, because this way, if you can't behave among your blind brothers and sisters, how is it going to be when you leave the program and go into the real world and have a job, and you're still doing things that you didn't get over yet? And then, because of the knowledge of computers, what about a little more computer training in there, to help out internet or whatever? Because when you go look for a job today and get an interview, the first thing they'll ask you is, what kind of computer work have you been doing? So I would say some computer work in addition to the Braille and the typing and other things that are being done.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I want Charles to respond to that.
Well, yeah, I think that there was a time when I think...
Yeah, but we've got it.
Yeah. You're right. And that's one of the problems that happened... there has been an increase in utilization and reliance on computers and technology. So that's really one of the basic skills that has to be emphasized. There was some staffing problems in the recent past where Mike had to substitute as a computer teacher in addition to all his other responsibilities. But they do have a computer teacher now, and perhaps that's one thing that needs to be expanded, and we've talked about that, and hopefully that'll be part of the recommendation. Anything else?
Is there anybody else? Okay, Albert is coming here.
Here he goes.
Okay. And I just want to kind of reiterate the thing where maybe for people that might need to use the type of programming where they would, be residents, it would be something to add in. But I think that the overall program of residential is a good thing. And at first, I wasn't sure, you know, about the woodworking and the, you know, that kind of class. But I think the fact that a person can do it, you know, unless they can't find someone, I think that's kind of a neat thing to get people used to something that they never thought that they could do before. You know, so I think, but in a way, you know, and I just don't want any of these changes that the task force may be looking at to really undermine what the center can do. If anything, I hope that there is a way that we can keep the center going and to make sure that it'll be, you know, utilized for the things that it's supposed to be, helping blind people newly blinded and even some blind people that have been blind all their life to make their life better and to learn how to do those things to make them be in the real world.
Yeah, I don't think there's any thought of eliminating the center. The task is to make it better, and hopefully we have the expertise to do that. I can draw on the expertise.
In fact, you know, you guys, we actually, once when we were in this meeting, the question was asked of the chief deputy straight up. So, do you guys ever talk about just not having this center? And she said, oh, no, that's not an option. So we felt good about that.
And with regard to the woodworking class, you know, Mike and has implemented, I believe he did, the class in home repairs, you know, and that would be maybe a substitute for the woodworking program, which would provide useful skills. You know, not that woodworking isn't useful, but I think more practical is, you know, being able to repair faucets and, you know, and leaks and things like that. But that's some of the thoughts that's been going on. Okay, any other?
Are there any other questions that you have of either Mike or Charles? I have one. I guess the one that I would pose to Charles is that it would seem that it would be more indicative of the changing out of faucets and lights and how to wire one's house perhaps for a TV or a computer. But I'm wondering, I would think that, and I know you're not going to do this, but I would want to see that the woodworking program remain, only because for a blind person for a blind person, it's really important that they know about spatial issues, how to manipulate a piece of machinery, whether it's a saw or a screwdriver. I would hope that the spirit of that would remain. That's my only question, my only comment.
Yeah, we recognize that one of the primary objectives is to instill confidence in the newly blind person, you know, so that they can recognize that they can do things that they don't think that they can do when they first become blind or are young and blind, you know. So that's part of it. And, you know, we really haven't come to any decisions and any recommendations, and that's why I'm asking you for your ideas to, you know, continue to take take data so that we can evaluate it all fairly. But I think that, you know, the director and the organized blind organizations have recognized that there needs to be some changes, and that perhaps there's areas in which, you know, the OCB isn't fulfilling its purpose and needs to better serve the blind and visually impaired community. And that's what the whole idea of the task force is. Some people have, you know, different ideas, and I don't know if I mentioned that Brian Basham was also on the committee, but he seems to reflect a more idea that there needs to be some drastic changes, and Pete Benavides runs his own program and has that experience, and Don Queen was a long time rehab counselor in the Bay Area and has a real good knowledge of what it takes to rehabilitate a person, a blind person or visually impaired person, to get them to be able to be employed. So I think that, you know, we got a good balance of people there, and we hopefully will be able to come up with some ideas and some recommendations that will help keep the OCB the important part of blindness education that it is. Anything else? All right, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and if you have any, you know, further comments, you know, feel free to contact me or any other members of the task force, so that when we meet next and prepare our final recommendations, we can you know, come up with some good ideas. Well, let's see. By email, or you can contact me through the OCB office, and they always have my contact information. But do you want me to give you my email address now, or do you want to just contact me through OCB, the CCB office?
559-1208.
All right, my email address is chasnab45. chasnab45@gmail.com. Gmail. Yeah, well.
Google.
Yeah, Google. Yeah. So, or, you know, if you don't remember that, just ask Ed at the CCB office, and he'll give you the information. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank both Michael and Charles for coming and speaking to us today. It's a little bit for them to do, and I'm very appreciative. We all should be appreciated. Thank you both very much for coming. There is absolutely nothing left to do. The only thing that there is, before you leave, if you haven't paid your dues this year, dues are due. So come on by and take your name and your money. It's $5. Okay. Okay. Well, we've got a ways to go. So if you want to just sit and chat, it's okay. But it is 1:12.